This weekend, it will be 40 years since the assassination of President John F. Kennedy in Dallas. Like December 7th and 9/11, the 22nd of November is a day that everyone old enough remembers vividly. Lee White was in the White House that day. He served as special assistant to President Kennedy, and he joins us now here in Studio 3A. And thanks very much for coming in today.
Glad to be here.
What was on the agenda at the White House that day?
Well, it was a Friday afternoon. It was rather a beautiful day, sunshiny. And things were kind of quiet because the president was gone. A group of cabinet officers with Pierre Salinger, the press secretary, among them, was headed to Japan for a big meeting. And things were so relaxed that the assistant press secretary, Andy Hatcher, was at the racetrack that Friday afternoon. And all of a sudden, about 1 o'clock or so, Jack McNally, one of Kenny O'Donnell's fellows, popped into the White House mess where I was having lunch with a number of other White House people. And he said that the president had been shot. My first reaction was, that's a weird, weird thing to say. When I looked at his face, I decided that he was not joking or fooling. At that time, the only TV station or set in the White House was in the press secretary's office. So I went up the steps and through the back channel into the Pierre Salinger's press room. And there were a couple of his assistants, two women, Helen Gans and a younger woman, bawling, bawling, bawling. They were crying and watching the TV set. And that was really what we knew. At that time, I sort of assumed the role of acting press secretary because there was no other one.
Mm-hmm.
And we watched in horror as we found out that the president had indeed been assassinated.
It was some time later we found out that he was indeed dead.
Yeah. Well, I think it was Walter Cronkite who first had the big word that the president was dead. Everybody hoped against hope that even if he had been shot, that he wasn't necessarily a fatal shot. Hmm. But alas, that's the way it worked out.
Amid the shock, did you have time to stop and think for a minute to even begin to grieve?
It's hard to recall after 40 years, but as I think about it, it was like disbelief. It couldn't have happened. You know, it just was so alien to one's experience, to one's mindset. But where I really got the jolt was at the Andrews Air Force Base, as I saw the president's coffin coming down that gangplank. It was an awkward movement. It was, but there it was in that box. I tell you, that was pretty poignant. That brought it home.
Hmm. That was at the end of what must have been a very, very long day.
No, it wasn't the end. The end of the day came when we returned by helicopter to the White House, and about a half a dozen of us were in a large room. And would you believe that almost out of nowhere popped in a fellow from the State Department with a loose-leaf folder having all kinds of information about state funerals and how they are conducted. And so there we were, trying to figure out what to do. Sergeant Shriver was in charge of our little group, and he was on the telephone with Bobby Kennedy at the Bethesda Naval Hospital. And I think Jackie was with him, and they were actually making funeral arrangements. And I must say, it's standard